Today, April 7th, is World Health Day, so named because the World Health Organization was formed on this date in 1948, headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. Appropriate that we're going to do our Mendocino Coast District Hospital report now. This is a new feature, Monday through Fridays at 9:30. We started last week, and if you missed previous episodes, they are archived as podcasts on our website at kozt.com. We'll be doing that with every day's edition. And with that, I turn it over to Joe Rogelski at the Coast News Desk.
All right. Thank you, Dred, and good morning, everyone. William Lee, the hospital representative on the City of Fort Bragg's Emergency Operations Center, is here. He is the gentleman who coordinated all of this to get it going. Also, we have Fort Bragg City Manager Tabitha Miller and Hospital Emergency Room Director Dr. Robin Saran. William, let's let you do the transition.
Thanks again, Joe, for allowing us this time to bring updates to the people on the coast and inland. I'd like to introduce our Medical Director and our Chief of Medicine here at the Mendocino Coast District Hospital, Robin Saran.
Good morning. My name is Robin Saran. I serve as the medical director for our emergency room in Fort Bragg. We've had no documented cases of COVID to date in our district. Four cases have been identified in the county. This is due to several factors. First, we are not densely populated, unlike New York City. Second, we have been afforded a warning from Italy and New York, which has given us time to prepare for the pandemic. We have been able to implement social distancing and shelter at home before the pandemic's arrival, and it is working. Thanks to everyone for following the prevention guidelines. Our ER has seen fewer patients this past few weeks. When should someone come to the ER? If you have chest pain, abdominal pain, or injury, we should see you. If you have a cough, stay at home. If you have cough and fever or shortness of breath, you should come to the ER to be seen. We have limited COVID testing. The rollout of expanded COVID testing is being implemented in higher risk areas. We do not know when we will be getting more testing capacity. Therefore, testing is restricted to using the CDC guidelines. We are testing patients who have fever and cough and shortness of breath and who are sick enough to be hospitalized. So far, no one has tested positive for COVID through our hospital testing. We've had the good fortune to plan for this pandemic. We have spent countless hours getting ready. We have an excellent physician and nursing staff committed to the health of our community. We will be there for you. Thank you for continuing to wash your hands, sheltering in place, and wearing masks when you need to leave home. We will get through COVID together.
Thank you, Dr. Saran. And we have our city manager, Tabitha Miller, here. Welcome, Tabitha.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I think we're all doing well. I think, you know, everyone I talk to, Tabitha, no matter who they are and what they do every day, it's been a big change for everybody. It's a different world. And I know it's certainly a different world than the one when you assumed the city manager's position a while back.
Yes, it is. It is a different, you know, it's amazing just in a month how much our lives have changed and what a different perspective we're looking at.
In the city of Fort Bragg, I noticed that, well, of course, I've been reporting all morning that the council last night listened to proposals, one for contacting people who aren't listening to the medical advice of the health director for the county, and what should be done with these people. And I noticed, as I reported this morning, that the idea was to concentrate on businesses and not individuals, and to rework that idea. Is that correct?
That is correct, Joe. What we had brought forward was actually a urgency ordinance that mimicked the one that was passed by the county at the end of March and the city of Ukiah the 1st of April, that would give kind of shift some of the responsibilities for enforcement of those orders from the police department to code enforcement, really to free up some of their time, particularly if things get a little more difficult going forward and their time is more precious. It gave them the ability to sort of pass off those to our code enforcement or city hall staff. What it would have done is allowed with quite a bit of discretion, a code enforcement officer to issue a warning to either an individual or a business that they were violating the orders, give them 24 hours to, you know, basically come into compliance. And then if it was really, really still an issue of health and safety, the code enforcement officer had the discretion to actually issue a violation order and assess a penalty. And that penalty could be anywhere from $1 to $500 for individuals and from $0 to $10,000 for businesses. The council gave staff direction to rework that ordinance and bring it back to them without the ability to assess penalties for individuals. That doesn't mean that they can't still be cited by our police department under the penal code, but it allows us to, if we have a really egregious business in town that's putting the health and safety of the community at stake, we have the ability to provide them a warning. Most likely that would start with a verbal warning, then it would be a written warning, and then potentially a fine, and the fine being kind of levied in conjunction with what the egregiousness of the penalty violation would be. But the idea was it was just another tool in the toolbox if we needed to use it. I will tell you, and I agree with council on this, that they decided that maybe that was a little too harsh at this point in time. Our business community is, you know, as you know, really struggling. They're closed. Many businesses, you know, are trying to figure out how they're just going to survive, and that this would be a penalty that maybe was a little harsh. So they wanted to back it off a little bit and come back with something a little softer and a little less formal and with a little less discretion on the part of the code enforcement officer. So we expect that to come back to council probably 2 weeks from last night.
All right, and then also the council gave you further direction as far as helping out landlords who have been or are about to be contacted by their tenants, be this a business or a residence, that because of COVID-19, I'm just not going to have enough money to take care of my rent. And the council already has dealt with the renter's side, and now you have direction from the council to help out the landlords, correct?
That is correct. And so, as you know, not only the city council, but even our state governor has provided a number of protections for individual renters and even for property owners as far as homeowners. Even as of yesterday, our court systems have new bans in place on any detainer or foreclosure actions for 60 days. So there's plenty of protections to keep people in their houses and in their properties, but the council was really concerned with the impacts of those protections on really the small landlords, those folks who really depend either on for income or for their own expenses on those rental payments they receive. It's going to be a small program. The council used all of the rest of their program funds for this year, which is about $23,000. We'll likely have that program and the applications in place in the next 2 weeks. And we'll take applications for 2 weeks. We have no idea what kind of response we'll get. It could be overwhelming. It could be small. And then they'll decide how to allocate that money out. And it'll be up to 50% of the lost revenue or expenses, up to a max of $2,000.
And then finally, Tabitha, do you see any other issue that's COVID-19 related that will be coming before the council in the future?
So probably the next big issue for the city council to have to grapple with is just the financial impacts to the city itself. You know, we're recognizing that when local businesses suffer, the city suffers. You know, the sales tax, the transient occupancy tax from the hotels, the delayed payments that are happening, the waivers on penalties, those are going to be big impacts to the city budget, and we will likely have to respond with budget reductions. And that's really the next big thing that I see the council and the city having to grapple with, is how to balance our own budgets and provide the essential services that we need to our community.
All right. Tabitha, thank you very much. Dr. Saran, anything you'd like to finalize here?
No.
Okay, good. Just
I
want,
said it all.
just want to make sure you didn't say, oops, I forgot to mention something. All right. Well, my thanks to Dr. William Lee, the hospital representative on the City of Fort Bragg's Emergency Operations Center, for coordinating all of this, the Fort Bragg City Manager, Tabitha Miller, and, of course, to the Hospital Emergency Room Director, Dr. Robert Saran, all of you guests today on our weekday 9:30 program, the Mendocino Coast District Hospital Report. Rogalski here from the Coast.